Be patient. All right. I am not, truthfully, I'm not sure what's all going to come out this morning. This has been something that has been on my heart for a while, and I think I was supposed to share it two or three times already, and every time, I think we canceled church one time, I was sick one morning, I'm not sure what'll happen. But anyway, that all being said, I figured, you know, I'm good to go, but I was still up late and I was still up early trying to finish it, and I was typing as we were leaving the door, basically. So I don't know what's going to happen. I have so many things to share, I'm not sure what's all going to come out this morning, but I'm going to try. So... picture this with me. Somewhere in Lancaster and many other places this morning, there is a person sitting, probably hunched over, shivering, maybe tattered clothes, I have no idea, feeling all alone, not knowing where to go, not knowing what to do. And they're not shaking from cold. I know it's cold outside, but that's not what they're shaking from. They're shaking because they need the needle and the drugs that are associated with that needle. They're shaking for that. They'll do anything to get that drug and help them with what they're faced with right then. Anything. They'll lie. They'll steal. They'll hurt people. They'll kill people. It don't matter. They will do anything. They're not in any kind of physical, there's no walls around them. There's no ceiling on them. But are they free? We all know that answer. They are not free. Most of us here have probably been to a zoo, and you go there, and your favorite place to go, at least to me, is watch the monkeys. Every time I go, they're never moving. But they're supposed to be flying around, playing tags, swinging off the branches, and scampering up the trees, right? They're supposed to be having fun, but whenever I go, they just sit there and look at me. But they're supposed to be having fun in this little cage, right? They can't get out. No matter what they try to do, they can't get out. Are they free? No. We all know the answer to that. So there's physical boundaries, and there's also other boundaries that control us. The definition of freedom is the power or right to act, speak, or think as one wants without hindrance or restraint. So it pretty much means you can do what you want, you can act, right? You can speak, you can think as you want without hindrance or restraint. A person addicted to drugs does not have that freedom, and the monkeys don't have that freedom either. They don't. Now, freedom in our society that we live in currently is a dangerous word. It's a very dangerous word. It has become misinterpreted and misrepresented in many, many ways, and certainly also in the church world. People in our society want freedom, and it's more than they want freedom. They demand freedom. They have to have it. There's no other option. It's got to have freedom. I'm talking about society in the world today. They want to be able to be free to think what they want to think. They want to be able to be free to do what they want to do. In fact, the fight for freedom is becoming so strong that right now, they don't even want to entertain the idea that you may have something to speak into their lives. They don't want that. People want to be free to do what they want, free from any suggestions that might be wrong, and it's just rampant all across the society right now. Freedom of speech. They want freedom of speech, except they don't want the Bible. I mean, that's not freedom of speech. They have to use the Bible. Duh. Doesn't go together, does it? Freedom from any moral restraints. We put the Bible out, then there are no moral restraints. Freedom from having to raise a child. I mean, New York just passed a law that you can kill a baby up until the time it comes out. They want a freedom to choose to do whatever they want with their own life. They're in charge. It's about me, myself, and I, and nobody else matters. And you might think that we're living in a time of life where this is all new and this is crazy. it may be crazy, but it's nothing new. You think back on the times of Noah, we know what went on there. If you go back in Judges 1:7 or 17:6, if I read that right, says, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And I think we're faced with some of that today, but it's something that's not new in our society today. Not at all. You know, the only way that you can do, or that you can have this concept of that you do whatever is right in your own eyes, is in the absence of truth or in the absence of the Bible, because the Bible is truth. I truly believe years ago, when Satan got together with his demons and they had their little meeting trying to figure out how to sort of scheme, how they're going to take over the world and whatever, I truly believe that in that meeting, they made a plan to take the Bible out of school and everything else that they possibly can, because they knew as long as that Bible is being taught, as long as that word is being spoken, that's truth. Truth from God. As long as that's there, there's moral. There's lots of other things that follow with that. When you remove that, it takes away all those things. And I think we all recognize that. This is not new stuff to you. You know, if you're living in sin and you read the Bible or you have somebody read it to you and the truth brings conviction, hello, it's supposed to. It's truth, right? You take all that away, now it's not there anymore. Society wants to be free from any kind of moral restraint. I think that's pretty obvious too. You know, the ironic thing is the more freedom that they get, it's actually more bondage that they're in. I mean, so we're going to turn to Galatians 5, and I'm going to read a couple of verses in there. If you want to put it up, you may. It's Galatians 5. We're going to start, and I think I'm going to start in the beginning. I'm only going to pull a couple of verses out, but I'm going to start in the beginning. "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged with Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but faith working through love. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens a whole lump. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. But through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, very familiar verse. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. It's a lot of reading for one, I know that. But what is being said here in chapter 5? Can anybody jump in? What's being said here in chapter 5? What's the point? What's he trying to say? The definition of Christian liberty. Okay, awesome. Anybody else? Right. Okay. So Christian living, walking in the Spirit. Anything else you want to pull out? Is freedom. So is that the definition of freedom? What is that? What is walking in the Spirit? If that brings freedom, if that is freedom, what is that? I'm at. Love your neighbor as yourself. That was part of that chapter, wasn't it? And not following my own fleshly desires. I think that's actually a very accurate description of what he's talking about here. I really think it is. And if you go back to verse 13 and 15, it says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty." Another word for that was freedom. "Have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the love is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love a neighbor as yourself." And we live in a land that is free, right? And we have freedom of religion at this point, come and go as we want. And we often, I think, we confuse the true nature of freedom. For many people, freedom has become synonymous with personal freedom, where you have the ability to make all of your own decisions, and you can choose your own path in life, and you can do whatever you want and go wherever you want to go. That's the concept of freedom in our society that I think is pretty predominant. In Luke 4, Jesus is talking in verse 18, he's taken words that were written before, and he speaks them. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." Does any part of that proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, have any connection with what I just said about being about me, making my choices, going where I want to go, going to do what I want to do? Is there any connection? I don't think there is. There is something here that Jesus is talking about that people are being bound by, that he wants to bring freedom to, right? And I think we know what that is, right? Jesus is not setting us free to do what we want to do, but he is freeing us to do what we ought to do. He is freeing us from the powers and the bounds, the chains and the walls that we were in sin. He's freeing us from that. And then he's freeing us to be able to do what we ought to do. He's gave us a way to again walk in a relationship with God that we couldn't before, to be the kind of people that he created us to be. Their spiritual freedom is the ability to obey God and do what he asked us to do. You know, I'm sure we all know that. It's not rocket science. We've all read the Bible. We all know that. We know that when God put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, we know that life was perfect. They had freedom. There was communication with him. We know that. We know what happened when sin came in. It cut that off. There was nothing. When they were in the Garden of Eden, there was nothing in the way of their relationship at all. Sin took that away. It can only be restored through Jesus Christ. I think we all know that. Going into another area where he was talking, it was in John, starting in verse 31. Jesus shocked some people. And this comes right after the story of where the adulterous lady was brought to him, and the accusers were trying to accuse or trying to get him in a pickle by trying to get him to condemn her. And he had his way of knowing exactly what their heart was, exactly what they were trying to do. He could see right inside of them and knew why they were trying to do it. And he just had a way of making things happen. Obviously, they couldn't. This is right after that. In verse 31, it says, "Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.' They answered him, 'We are Abram's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?' Jesus answered them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Now, I know you are Abram's descendants, and you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father.'" Wow. Stuff happening here. They answered and said to him, "Abram is our father." They went right into the physical. Jesus said to them, "If you were Abram's children, you would do the works of Abram. But you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abram did not do this. You do the deeds of your father." And they said to him, "We are not born of fornication. We have one father, God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you're not able to listen to my word. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do." He pretty much blew that argument apart there. You know, Jesus was simply saying that we are all naturally, we are all under the control, under the power of that sin. That's something that we're born into since the fall back in Adam and Eve. And the only way that we can get out of that is by coming to Jesus Christ, right? Going to the cross, letting our sins down. And that freedom that we have from then allows us to have that connection with God again. We can't get there by ourselves. It's not going to happen. Sin brings a penalty that by ourselves we can't escape. We can't. In Romans, I think it's the wages of sin is death, I think is what it says in Romans. So we find the freedom from the penalty of sin, right, by accepting Christ into our lives, and we have the freedom to choose what we want to do. We have the freedom to come against the power of sin and to walk in authority. That comes from us. That's what Galen was talking about last week, right? You shared a lot about that, those different angles and stuff. But you know, as we submit to Christ more and more and more, the sin grip loses its power over us. Actually, how many people were not here last week? There was probably quite a few. Who would like to share what Galen taught last week? I wouldn't mind having come up to do a 10-minute short one, but maybe somebody else can jump in. Anybody? If not, I'm going to ask you. Could I? Maybe. Anybody care to do that? What he shared last week? Do you want to, Galen? I wasn't going to ask you. It just kind of popped in here. So, and you give a short overrun?
Okay, I'm good. All right. Okay, yes. I talked about last week the new man. New year, new man. New year, new you. And what is the new man? The new man is the new man that it talks about in the Bible. How do we live from that new man was my question. What do we got to do to live from that new man? And it comes down to there is two realities. As a Christian, as a person who lives for Christ, there are two realities. There is the old man and the new man. And I'm convinced that more of us have been living from the old man as a Christian than we'd like to admit. And as we walk that life and the old man as a Christian trying to claim the promises of God, trying to live this life that was filled with hope and life and a future, and all we have is old man theology, and life just stinks because it don't work. And we get fed up and we say, why is this not working? Well, what we got to do is to step into the new man. The Bible, it says, put on the things of Christ. And I think it's Colossians, put on the things of Christ. And so when we step in, when we're living out of the old man, we're stepping out of the new man. We're putting off Christ. We're crucifying him all over again as a Christian. And it just gets me a little upset just to talk about it. Because I so badly want to live in the new man. When we live in the new man, when we walk in that continuously, we walk in an authority. And when we speak, we are carrying Christ to people. When we touch people, we are giving Christ to them. We're living from that perspective, and all of a sudden it changes the way I can relate to children, my children. It changes the way I speak. I speak with the wisdom of God. I have the discernment of God. All of a sudden, my prayers in the morning are, Lord, I choose to get in position this morning. Whatever's out of position, bring it in. Cause me to understand it. I choose to get in a position. I choose to say yes to you, no matter what. And then I go through that day, and as soon as I recognize I'm out of position, oh, I repent. I get back in position. And I have my wife assigned, and I'm assigned to her. If either of us get out of a position, you're out of position. I don't want to talk to that man. I want to talk to you in Christ. And it sounds mean and brutal, but that's where we're at. We want so badly to walk in that life that of Christ, that if one of us is out of it, we don't care. You're out of position. I don't want to talk to that. So, live from the new you.
So I'm going to read what I typed up here. I want to make sure the words are right. As we submit to Christ, sin loses its power. Christ's power takes over. As we choose to trust and follow him, our sinful habits, thoughts, attitudes lose their control. Guilt disappears, and peace of mind dominates. Right habits become the normal. That's freedom. When we're walking in the new man that Galen was talking about, that he shared, he had a 45-minute message on that last week, and it is online if you weren't here. It is very, very good. Freedom is not the right to do what we want, but the ability to do what we should do. That's freedom. So we're going to go in some more verses. We're going to go into John 8, chapter 8, verse 31. There's three references here I'm going to go into. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Anybody care to share what that verse means to you? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Know Jesus.
Know Jesus. Okay. That's pretty simple. So if you know Jesus, it says it shall make you free. Pretty simple, right? Anybody else? Romans 6:11. That's the one where it's talking about dead to sin. It says, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Romans 7 is my last one. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Anyway, I love going that way. I practiced that one, by the way. Not yesterday, though. But that's a tongue twister. But it just kind of gets really confusing. It's like, what's going on here? But, and that's, I bring this up because I think what Galen shared last week brings so much clarity to those things. What I want to do, I do not. What I do not want to do, I do. He shared it so, so good last week. In the new man and the old man. So what I've shared so far has been a little bit of a foundation of talking about freedom and what freedom is. The freedom is definitely about being free from the sin that we were bound by. There's no question about that. But there's also the part that we don't really talk about a lot about what it means to live by the Spirit, because that brings freedom, right? We had that verse earlier. What was that in Galatians, right? If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Was one thing that we read earlier. And says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I like to go a little bit into that, and I do not have all the answers with this walking in the Spirit, but I'm going to bring some things out that God gave me to share with us all this morning. So freedom in our society means free to do what I want, and you have no right to impose on me any concepts or thoughts otherwise. I'm in control of myself. I make choices that I want to benefit me. I am free. That's society. I think we talked about that earlier. Freedom in a lot of churches, so-called Christian churches, operate with a very similar mindset. There are lots of churches who call themselves Christian churches who I don't think many of us here, if anybody, would be willing to go and attend and support and be really involved in what they stand for. Churches that condone divorce and remarriage, churches that support same-sex marriage, churches that have gay or lesbian pastors. I mean, I think every one of us would say we will have no parts of that because we believe it's sin. But I can assure you, if I would go there and I would challenge them on what they are doing, they would say they're free to do. They're free. Well, if I challenge them, why aren't you identifying with who God made you? Well, God didn't make me I'm free to be who I want to be. I can do what I want. I'm free to be who I want to be. They operate in freedom. God is good. My relationship with God is good. It's about what God speaks to me. It's what he says to me. And that's all that really matters. Nothing else matters. People can't speak into me. And we can easily see that happening. You know, my spirit is connected with God, and that's all that matters. Just whatever he says, that's what I'm going to walk out. It's me, myself, and I connecting to God. It's between God and I, and you have no right to speak to my life. You know, many of us in our backgrounds, many of us in our backgrounds have come from churches who have seen a lot of this stuff that's out there in the world, in society, want no parts of it, and have chosen to build some walls around their church. And I think probably most of us in here have been part of a church like that. And within those walls, there is safety. There is an element of safety. There is an element of brotherhood. That's something that is spoken very, very much. And there's brotherhood in that, and you work together with everything. And there's control, too. A part of what goes along with that is control. So we're coming out of that, and we are grabbing hold of a verse that says, walk in the Spirit. And I think we as a church are trying to figure out what that means. I don't think anybody here is speaking against the churches that we were a part of, but we're recognizing that with those walls that they have built to keep people safe, there also is some control, and we're saying we want to allow God's Spirit to work in us. And so we say, okay, God's Spirit, I want to work. I want to walk in the Spirit, and we start walking it out. But there is something that Jason Reed, a statement that he made the night we were at Bertahan Fire Hall that hit me that night and has stuck with me ever since that I'm trying to process. And I want to process it with you this morning as a church. He made a statement. He said, when people step out of a controlled church environment, and he wasn't knocking the churches, as I'm not trying to this morning either. I'm just recognizing that's what we came out of. Walls, control, which was supposed to be safe. He said, when people come out of those church environments and they walk into a church where there are no walls, there is a pendulum that starts swinging. And it starts swinging. And it keeps on swinging as you keep on searching God. It keeps on swinging. As you keep on walking through life, it keeps on swinging. And the question is, how far will you let it swing up the other side? And the other side, I would present to you, would be what I talked about this morning, where society is everything about me, myself, and I, and nothing to do with anybody else. It's all about whatever God's Spirit says to me, whatever God they're listening to. Because if you're having same-sex marriages, same-sex pastors, and all that type of stuff, you're not listening to God that I serve. I think we'd all agree to that, right? So that pendulum is going to swing. How far are we going to let it swing? In our search of wanting to walk in the Spirit. Because those people are walking in the Spirit. That's what they say. That's what they feel. But it's not lining up with what Scripture is telling us. And on the other side where we came out of, we said that was walls that we don't want to be part of. But those walls were built for safety. I mean, that's the reason they were built. If we go back to Galatians, it says, for your brethren have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. I think the question that we have to ask ourselves on this journey as a church is, am I fulfilling the lust of the flesh? This comes out by how we choose to live and choices that we make in every area of life. It's a question we have to ask ourselves. We want to walk in the Spirit, right? But it says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What is driving me to wear the latest fashion style? This is for men or ladies, you know. Why am I shopping where I'm shopping? Why am I buying what I'm buying? A couple of things that are really what I believe us as a church is being challenged in right now is, was it 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, Emmanuel was here. And he shared his journey on the covering of the head. He shared his journey for those that were here. And he shared about the cover head and about the headship order and how they connect together. I bring it up because I believe as a church we're under attack. We're challenged in this area right now. What are we going to do with it? Doesn't scare me. I'm not scared. But we need to be very careful on this journey. So we left this journey of being very controlled in walls, and it was safe. And now we're walking in the Spirit. How far is that pendulum going to swing? How far are we going to let it swing? My desire is that we can go from the covered head being challenged to it being something that we embrace as a lifestyle because we have conviction on it. We came from controlled environment. You have to because you have to. Now we're on a journey. But while we're on this journey, let's not just drop everything and walk away from, because I believe it's in the Bible for a reason. Steve preached a message about 2 or 3 months ago on gender distinction. Principle, I believe, is also being challenged here. And again, what are we going to do with it? Walls are not the answer. Putting up walls, putting up requirements, making a long list of stuff that you have to do is not the answer. But again, let's watch that pendulum and let's be very, very, very careful. In our pursuit of walking in the Spirit, we need to be careful that the pendulum doesn't swing completely to the opposite side where the lust of the flesh is what's driving us instead of the Spirit. And I share this morning not to condemn anybody. Not at all. And if you're feeling condemned by me sharing what I'm sharing, I want you to talk to me personally today, because that is not my intention at all. I'm sharing this because I've been sensing for a while that as a church, we are under attack. We are being tested. We are under attack. I believe that God has a specific calling, which I don't fully understand yet. There's glimpses and pieces of it that I see and some other people see, and there's somewhat of a picture being formed, but it's not really all there yet. But I believe as a church, we have a calling. We have a specific thing that God wants us to do, that He wants us to walk out here in the time of society that we are in. And we're trying our best as a church, I believe, to follow the Holy Spirit as we go through life. I believe that's the desire of every single person in here. You know, we have a longing. There's many conversations I have, a longing to see you read in the Bible that talks about the things that will follow believers, demons cast out, there's people that don't get sick, there's healing, all sorts of manifestations, things that are happening. And I know we're saying that we want to see a much greater part of that than what we have been experiencing. I've talked to a lot of you, and that's what you're saying. That's what I'm saying. That's what I want to see. And so we often talk about this stuff, and we say we've got to follow the Spirit. We've got to live in the Spirit. That's all truth. You know, one place where often we end up at in those conversations is, well, some of these areas that as a church we're trying to walk out, such as the carving of the head and gender distinction and some stuff like that we're trying to walk out because we believe it's valuable. Some of that stuff you don't see being lived out by people who are doing all this stuff, who are walking in authority, who are having big ministries, who are making an impact on lots and lots and lots of people. And the question is raised, why? If it's so important, how can they have the power? Why do they have all this stuff following them when we're trying to hang on something that we think is important, but this isn't following along? And Gillen made a statement on a conversation we had just a couple weeks ago that I think is so, so true. He said, you know, if there's 9 areas of that person's life who they are absolutely in line, in alignment with God, they're going to have authority, right? If there's 1 or 2 areas that they're not, they won't have authority in that area, but they'll have authority in all the rest. Things can still happen, right? Miracles can still happen. On the opposite, if maybe you are an authority in one area but not in the other 12, well, what are you going to find? You're going to see a difference there, right? My question is, and this is where often the conversation ends up at, what do you do with that? Well, my question is, if it's knowledge that we have, I believe we as a church need to walk in the knowledge that we have, walk in the understanding that we have, and continue to search, continue to seek the Spirit, continue to strive after the Spirit, and I believe those other things will follow. But in the knowledge that we have at the current time, let's choose to start walking in them instead of challenging them. Choose to start walking in them, embracing it, and instead of looking at what could we do, say, how can we walk in what we know? What would happen if we would all take up all the teachings that we know and apply every single one that we know to the best that we can while pursuing living by the Spirit? Not question, not challenge, not try to look at how we can get away or change or anything like that, but just walk. And I believe there are a lot of people, and maybe everybody here is on that journey. I know I am. I know many people that I've talked to are on that journey of that. And that's why I share this morning not in condemnation, because so many people have come from so many different areas of life. This church is very diverse, and I love the church for that reason. It's a lot of different people, a lot of different cultures, from a lot of different churches all coming together because we're seeking God. That's what we want. We want more of God. I know it, I see it, I feel it, I hear it. I'm sharing this as a warning to be very conscious as we walk through life in some of these areas that we are very observant of the choices that we make because they radically affect. Radically affect. But this thing that we have at the church, if I could share more of it, if I have a better picture, I would love to share some of it. But it's just like, wow. All the things, when I look back over the last, was it 9, 10 years now, some of the things that has happened that God has taken us through, and it's things are being built upon the different things that are happening. It's amazing when I think, when I look at it. It's not about any, it is about us, but it's about God bringing us together for this time, and I believe things are going to happen. I believe we are at a point of time of life in our church where we are under attack, yes, we are being tested, yes, but doesn't scare me. We're going to walk through this, and God is going to open the doors into something beautiful that none of us ever dreamed about. It may look different than we thought it did 10 years ago. That's okay, because I know God is in it. And that's the one thing that I want to leave with you, with everybody here. There is a hunger and a desire for truth by everybody that is here. I love it. I love it. I love it. Because that will take you where God wants you to go. But just recognize that there's a pandemic. So I would open up for any thoughts or anything that's on your heart. I don't know if it made any sense at all. I share what's on my heart. And I trust if nobody connected with it, that, well, I guess that would be a bad thing, though, if nobody connected with it. But I just trust that, well, I share what God gave me, but I would really welcome if there's any thoughts. If not, I'm going to turn over the deal. Maybe they'll talk to you.